You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Okay, I think we should talk about this Rick Ross project.
Let's do it.
Was last week the first we had heard about this?
Yeah, remember he dropped it he announced it the week of.
Right.
When we had Taylor on the show. So I think it was that Monday.
Right.
And it was coming out on that Thursday.
So first we heard Foreclosures.
Yeah.
Which you were enthusiastic about, and I was kind of like, eh. And then we heard Money Dance, which you liked, and I was like, eh. And then
he dropped a whole bunch of random leaks that sounded like songs he's been doing since 2011.
Mm-hmm. And then it came out.
I was like, nope.
And then it came out.
Yeah.
I want to go track by track on this.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm listening to a different Rick Ross mixtape than everybody else.
Oh, man.
I am seeing a reaction online. People really like this.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. What are they listening to?
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
I'm also going to get nerdy. This entire mixtape is not mastered correctly. There are tons of beats on here that just aren't right. It's not the most technical term I know to say that, but like, am I crazy? Like, some of this stuff just doesn't like hit the way it should. Like, some of these beats feel like these are interesting ideas, but they're not like 100%. I don't know. Did you get that vibe at all?
A couple of records I did.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was trying to go for the same feel of Rich Forever without completely giving away his album like he did with Rich Forever.
Yeah, some of these are, so like, you're right. Some of these songs are clearly like, these should be on an album.
Yep.
And some of them are clearly like, I don't even know who produced it, but I'm going to rap over it anyway. like two of these songs, like nobody, I don't think anybody knows who produced them yet.
Which ones are those, you know?
Bel Air and Two Shots.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, one way that you can tell, at least a decent way to tell if the producer was even significantly involved in the creation of a track, when they do a beat dropout and it's not like a clean beat dropout, if it sounds like the DJ actually like turned the volume down for a second and then turned it back up, that is a bad sign. That happens in a couple places on this album. But anyway, but let's go through this. We won't take too long. I was wrong on Foreclosures. This is a dope beat. This is a dope beat. I like how Ross is flowing.
Okay.
This would be a quality Rick Ross album track.
Agreed.
Produced by Justice League and somebody named 8 Bars. I'm not 100% sure if this is like my opening track. And in fact, the entire sequencing on this makes no sense to me. It's a mixtape. There is no like flow to this really. At least to me. And the other thing is, and this would be so annoying. Really? That piff drops?
I just searched and there is a version without.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'll shoot it to you.
I'm kind of surprised. Like, I was a little surprised that, let me ask you this before we really get going. In 2015, why not just put it on his own SoundCloud?
Great question. Do you think that's like a rapper thing where rappers are so used to putting it out on that piff, or is our audience not as, intellectually savvy or internet savvy to do that? Not intellectually savvy. That was stupid. They're not as internet savvy to like...
To go to SoundCloud?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
SoundCloud is not complicated.
At all. I their search engine could be a whole heck of a lot better.
Well, yeah, but I mean, SoundCloud has mobile apps that actually work. Like,
right.
The only thing I can say is there are DatPiff drops on it. I wonder if DatPiff pays for that.
No,
because like it's not exactly expensive. Like, listen, we have a pro account on SoundCloud. It's not breaking the bank for us. It's not like when we do runs of t-shirts, it pays for that. Like, I'm pretty sure Rick Ross can afford a pro SoundCloud account. So it's not like he's like DatPiff is covering incredible like download costs or anything. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, didn't Ross just pay like $5 million on Bond? Maybe trying to cut corners or something. No, I'm not saying that to be funny.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Because you kind of said that like in a little bit of a Ross voice.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, the DatPiff drops annoyed me. I'm glad to hear that there are non-DatPiff drops. There's a version out there. But anyway, so Foreclosures is good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Money Dance. I was wrong on this one too.
Haha.
It is too long.
I'm not mad at that.
My problem is I get like 4.5 minutes into it and then I'm like, there's still 3 minutes left.
And the Dream does a verse where he name drops Fonte.
Yeah.
Which is very, very random.
Very random.
Speaking of Fonte, should we announce that now or should we wait?
What's to announce?
Next week.
Oh. Yeah, we should talk about that. Like, okay. Say it on the show. No. We can do it. Yeah. Go ahead, announce it. Like, surprise people.
So, huh? What? You want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So, next week is the 10-year anniversary of the Minstrel Show, which is Little Brother's second album. So, there will be a Little Brother retrospective next week. Now, we're not going to do... I don't want to do anything, like, from Get Back On.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely do the first two albums.
Yeah, definitely do the first two albums and maybe even the Gangsta Grills, and then maybe we can talk about Chitlin' Circuit.
I mean, I was thinking, you know, Edgar Allan Flow.
Want to nerd out.
Listen, as somebody who bought from, hiphopsite.com?
Yeah, hiphopsite, yep.
I bought the Triple Threat. Remember that? It was like the...
Was that, what was the group that Crisis was in?
Yeah, it was the Away Team. I actually bought that on like physical CD.
Yikes.
The backpackery was strong. So anyway, yes, we are going to revisit the original Justice League.
Justice League, that's what you mean.
Yeah, we're gonna revisit Little Brother, Ninth Wonder. I should say, like, I'll talk about it on the show a little bit, but like, no joke, I've started making beats because of Ninth Wonder.
Wow.
So we will talk about that.
Okay.
So what sold me on Money Dance, actually, I was in the car and it was just, for whatever reason, like the pianos really worked for me on that Jake one. I'm assuming those are samples from something.
Yeah.
Just really, really worked for me. And then it kind of, I was like, okay, Dream's Hook kind of works. Like, it's not like, you know, the greatest song I've ever heard, but it's good. It's a good song. Ross is really, actually the entire album, and this is kind of a problem later on, but at least in these first two tracks, he is really flowing effortlessly.
He is rappity rapping, especially on these first two tracks.
Yeah.
My goodness. And I didn't really speak on it that much, but like Ross on Foreclosures is really, really good. And I know a lot of people feel that way about, you know, he's a gimmick, he's a fraud, yada, yada. I mean,
Taylor said it last week on the show.
Yeah, he did. Number one, I mean, I just have a theory that a lot of rappers are frauds. One, and then two, I can separate, you know, music from reality. So I don't need all of my music to be. And Ross, and I've said this before on the show, like he obviously studies hip hop. He knows, sort of like where Wayne knows about Elzai and Little Brother, and you wouldn't expect him to. But like Ross studies lyricism. If you listen to his early stuff, like pre Port of Miami, he was rapping like Jay-Z
and writing for Trina
and beefing with T.I., who I want to hilariously talk about pretty soon later on in the show.
Did you? Oh, God. I was hoping that you would love that. We'll talk about that. Did you hear his new record?
Who, T.I.?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
Was I supposed to?
And don't worry about it. to me, the thing with Ross is not quite the same, but it's sort of like when there's an athlete who is in some way kind of a scumbag off the field or off the court. Yeah. Like for some people, and I'm not, there's no judgment either way, but for some people that definitely matters, right? Yeah. Whatever it is, they're not a good person, they've cheated on their spouse, they've gone to prison for something, they've been accused of something, maybe they just act arrogant, maybe they have a political view you don't like. For some people that matters, and they can't separate the person from like what they do for a job, which is to play sports.
Yep.
But then there are some people who are like, nah, I don't really care. Like, I acknowledge that maybe they aren't the best person, but I'm just watching them do this thing, and they're an incredible athlete, and I'm enjoying that. I think there's a similar thing that you can have with rappers. It's like, I can separate it out. And I think everybody has a line that they won't cross. Like, I know for a lot of people, Chris Brown crosses over that line. Because of what Chris Brown has done, because of what R. Kelly has done.
Right, right.
You can never go back.
Sure.
For other people, but then, you know, everybody sort of has that line. And for athletes, I'm sure it's the same way, right? Like, we idolize Jordan. Jordan would have been eaten alive in the Twitter era. Eaten alive.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to imagine any of...
He's insane. Now, we lionize that, and our generation accordingly lionizes that. But, like, he's crazy. the stories of him like fighting with people in practice would have gotten, like, his career would have been totally different.
Yeah.
Right. And so there are just like there are athletes that have, you know, like I said, I don't want to repeat what I just said. So I think that's what it is with Ross, right? Where you are clearly like, because he is a he does have talent as a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the persona and there's everything else on top of that. And you are willing to look at him and go, I see what's entertainment and I see that Ross can rap. And for you, the fact that Ross can actually rap matters more than anything
else. Yes. Yes. And he has a really, really, really good ear for beats.
Most of the time.
Okay. So what beats are whack? Is it when he picks those BMF-esque beats? Because those beats are good. We just heard them 8 million times before.
There are a lot of not great Rick Ross beats on this mixtape.
Okay. Let's. Oh, I know.
No, not even that one. Although I was about ready to throw. We'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll but get
even,
there.
Even we gonna make it. Produced by Black Metaphor.
Really?
This beat is cool, but it's not great.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
There's a whole lot of stuff on this album I'm going to describe as it's cool, but it's not great. And see, the problem for me is like I hear that Ross is flowing. And I know that Ross typically picks great beats. So like he picks now to start flowing on a mixtape that is clearly, I think you hit it on the head, is trying to be Rich Forever, just a little cheaper.
Yeah.
Ah, so close.
a cheaper Rich Forever. So
rich until late 2015. Again, on We Gonna Make It, we have Ross kind of talking about some things that, you know, Ross doesn't really have a rep for being political, or I'm going to use the phrase conscious because I don't know if I would ever describe Rick Ross as a conscious rapper, but, you know, he's making some references here. The fact that he is not just talking about, you know, whether it's of all things for, you know, what he's talking about foreclosures or what he's talking about, We Gonna Make It. Did that kind of surprise you at all?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I heard somebody say, and I think it was a little exaggerated, but it did make me think about it. They said Rick Ross is one of the most what was the word he used? Basically he said that Rick Ross raps about being proud of his race and his lineage and his history more than most rappers who are at that level.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I think it was a little trolly. It was a little like it had a little shock value to it, but I thought about it. And to hear Ross rap about those things is not a stretch to me. He's done it before. Sure. He's been doing it before. It was cool and before Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. So nah, I'm not surprised at all. I'm more surprised about, you know, an ex-drug kingpin rapping about financial responsibility on foreclosures. Like the concept on that, the content on that song just completely blew my mind. Hey, be smart with your money.
I gotta close the window. Hold on, because it's raining.
Yeah, you're good. Send some of that rain over here, man.
No joke, it was like a high of like 90 yesterday, and today it like barely got into the 70s.
Yeah, this weekend is going to be crazy. It's supposed to be in the 60s. Yeah, it's almost that time, cuz.
It'll warm back up. We still got one more run in us.
Yep, I agree. It won't get cold until probably like right before my birthday. We're gonna make it.
It's cool. It's not a good song. It's an okay song.
I think it's one of those songs where the content pushes the song to be better. I always think about, see, because for me, I think I'm really like dramatic with my beat selection.
Mm.
And, you know, if a beat is all right, I won't rap to it.
Right.
If it's my record or whatever, I have to think the beat is incredible. But I wonder what the process is for artists who pick all right or pretty good beats and then make sure that the content shines. And that's what this felt like. This served as a good backdrop for the content to shine, which is weird because I like Black Metaphor's production.
Yeah, this is just not a. It's okay. Bill Gates, produced by D. Rich. I can't stand this beat. You still there? Oh, you're breaking up. Oh no, I'm missing the reaction.
Oh, because I yell. That's probably the loudest I've yelled on this show. Are you serious?
You can't possibly like this beat.
This is my favorite beat on the album. Fam.
The entire feel of this song is thrown off by this ridiculous beat.
Okay. You know why you don't like it?
Why?
Because this evokes the spirit of 1999 No Limit in all of its glory.
Sure. Glory. That's a word you could use.
I wish, I hope that KLC did this beat. I hope this has some Beats by the Pound on it. Because this beat is retarded. That beat is crazy.
It's so bad.
No.
So bad.
That beat is hard.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, that beat is hard. Shout out to Sway. Nah, that beat is hard. That's all I got to say. I like the way he flows on it. He has sort of a skullduggery Mac Big Ed. You know, because No Limit is mostly known for like coonery and buffoonery. But No Limit, some of the artists on No Limit could rap. Mia X could rap. Matt could rap. Big Ed could rap. Even Cain and Abel could rap. You know, even Mystical could rap, very much so. But this just reminds me of that. Fiend could rap. This sounds like a beat that Fiend would kill. Not dirtbag weed head Fiend, but womp womp Fiend.
No, Bill Gates is not a good song. Sorry. Money and Powder, produced by Key Wayne. It definitely sounds like a Key Wayne beat. I can kind of hear Big Sean on this.
Yeah. I agree.
This is one of those beats where, like, I feel like something's missing. I don't know. Like, I like all the ideas that are going on in this beat, but I feel like it's just not, like, mastered right. I don't know. Like, I feel like Mike Dean would have, like, done something with, you know what I mean? Like, that whole, like, crew that he used to, that when he does good music stuff that he works with. Like, there's just something, like, incomplete about this to me.
Right.
But I see a lot of people liking this. The hook is all right. Ross is cool. Like, this is kind of a big problem for me in the entire project. Like, there's really no energy, like, from Ross on a lot of these records.
Mm.
Like, he kind of tries to come off as being laid back, but sometimes he just sounds high. Like, you know, like, it's just not really, I don't know. Like, you don't need, I'm not saying we need, like, it's almost like he was like, I'm not going to make BMF. So instead, I'm going to be laid back on, like, almost all these records. I don't know. Money Powder is okay. What do you think?
Yeah, same. It doesn't really stand out to me. It's all right. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. It didn't really do it for me, especially after this first run of four songs that I really, really, really liked. So,
Geechee Liberace, produced by Jake One. Beat is cool.
Now that I like this beat. This beat is dope to me.
I would say, again, not enough energy on the song. It's fine. It's okay. It's not great. What do you think?
Same. I really just like the, I like the beat. And then, like, it's really interesting now that you're bringing up the energy, even just the energy of the whole mixtape and not even just in his rapping. The thing about Rich Forever is that it sounded purposeful, intentional, and urgent. And I think one thing that Buzz does, a good Buzz does, that it creates a sense of urgency. Like, you have to hear this. You have to be a part of whatever this is that is going on. I think these are good records. And overall, I like the project, but I don't get that urgency. I just remember when Rich Forever came out and just being like, yo. And not to say that Ross needs to, I'm not going to say that Ross needs to go back to being this artist or whatever, but I think you can recreate sort of an aura with that urgency and with that intentionality and things like that. And overall, I don't get on this project, although these songs are good.
You know what it is like, and this is, you can hear this sometimes with rappers where there's really not much of a change in, like, inflection, or like there's no, like, he's just rapping. I don't want to say he's monotone because he's not really monotone, but he's always at the same level. And you can go up or down without yelling all the time. Yeah, Geechee Liberace's all right. Icon with Anthony Hamilton, produced by Justice League.
No.
Anthony Hamilton is doing his best John Legend impersonation on the intro.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Nope. I don't like John Legend or Anthony Hamilton singing Negro spirituals.
I knew you were going to use that phrase.
Nope. I Anthony Hamilton's one of those artists where, like, he has a great voice, but he doesn't make good music to me. I really do like the record he has with Teja Moses on her album, but Anthony Hamilton has never really done it for me outside of, like, a Coming From Where I'm From, or, you know.
Yeah, that's
a couple of records here and there. But, like, other than that, like, overall, I don't love him like everybody else does. And so, yeah.
This is a record where Ross has at least a little bit of energy.
A little bit.
But the beat is on, I don't know, like, this is such a tired concept for a song to me. I was like, nah, Skip, World's Finest featuring Meek Mill, produced by Joe Millie. Oh, and Kevin Costner's on the hook.
Oh, is that who that? Dang, I haven't heard that name. Good Lord.
He's got two appearances on this mixtape.
Kevin Costner, wow.
Yeah.
That was, what record did he do with Drake that leaked? Was it Material Girl or something like that?
World's Finest.
Go ahead. All I'm going to say, I'm going to get out the way and I'm going to just say I don't like this song.
Yeah.
And shout out to Meek Mill for a watch reference again. We see that the Drake beef has not destroyed him. He is still authentically Meek Mill. I'm out the way. Go ahead. Take it away.
As soon as you hear these pianos, you as a human being make a judgment. Am I going to be okay with what's going on for the next 4 minutes and 7 seconds of this song? And what do they do? They made a beat that sounds at times like a poor copy of, you know, one of the seminal mid-90s hip hop records. So this is a poor remake of Brooklyn's Finest. I don't get, so like, why not just take, here's what's killing me. I think they replayed the beat.
Oh, they totally did.
Like, they could have taken the sample and then 2015 did, which wouldn't have been great. But instead, they like replayed it. So it sounds cheap.
Oh yeah, they totally did.
Ross is jocking the flow from the original like crazy. Meek is Meek. He's okay. Even there are times where I think he kind of forgets like where the downbeat is, and he just sort of is trying to fit as many words as possible into each line. He's got a couple times where he sort of goes off the rails a little bit, and you're like, I mean, not quite like Silk the Shocker, where like, you know, the beat stopped existing for him, and he just sort of Silk the Shocker.
I should if somebody can send me an acapella of Silk the Shocker screaming, I need to make that my alarm.
Silk the Shocker would kind of like rap past the drum and then like double back and catch up with it again. Meek isn't quite doing that. It's more like he's kind of rapping and then he's like, oh yeah, there's a beat going on here.
Oh shoot, my bad.
The hook is
it's like when you're tall, you know this because you're tall, like it's like whenever you dated a short girl and like you would just walk normal and one of your steps is like three of hers.
Oh.
So you take a couple steps and then you realize like you've left her behind. You kind of have to either turn back around or wait on her to catch up to you.
Here's what happened. I'm 6 foot. My wife is like 5'5", 5'6", something like that. But when we sit down, we look almost identical in height.
Uh-huh.
I'm like so much of my height is in my legs. So uh-huh. Like we like to go for walks when it's still nice out.
Yeah.
Like I'll be just chugging along and she's just like, hey, hey. What are you doing? Meanwhile, I'm just like, just kind of coasting along.
You don't realize it until you look back and she's like 5 yards away from you. Like, what happened?
What? Let me have the biggest first world problem wine on the planet. Like, if you own a house and you have like tree branches that overhang your front sidewalk, trim them a little bit, because when you're 6 foot or taller and you go running, it's like an obstacle course out there, man, every morning.
Fam, that's my whole life. That is my entire life. Listen, that picture that I took with High Tech the other day,
yeah,
he's standing on a different part of the street that was elevated. He dapped me up.
Yep.
And he said, I forgot to tell what story was I supposed to tell? I was supposed to tell some stuff. Oh, about Post Malone. Okay. So he daps me up or whatever. I introduce myself, whatever, you know, tell him big fan, all that stuff, ask him for a picture. He's like, she's like, yeah, but you know, I'm gonna have to stand up here real quick. So he literally goes from where he's walking and stands up on an elevated part of the parking lot that we were in so he could take that picture. And he was still like a foot shorter than me.
Pulled like the presidential debate trick where like you got like the dudes behind the podiums and you got to like stack one of them up so they're not like.
Yes. Freaking phone books. Anyway.
Anyway. Right. World's Finest. The hook is awful too. Just trite. Yeah. And this whole, why?
It's just a bad song.
It honestly would have been better as just rap over the original.
Right. So my question is, and I couldn't stomach the whole song, and you have listened to so many bad songs in the name of this podcast. Do they at least go back and forth like Jay and Big at some point?
I can't even remember. I sort of blacked out a little bit.
You blacked out. Ah, that's funny.
It's an awful song. You're right. Like, they really could have just done the whole, like, that was one thing. Like, I'll tell you, when Ross starts rapping and he's very clearly aping the flow from the original, I was waiting and I was like, oh God, is Meek Mill going to try to play the J to Ross's big? And I was sort of like holding on. And then I realized, nope. Instead they took it. Then they, took the pianos out and they sort of filtered down a little bit and they brought in a generic hook. And I was like, really?
I'm surprised if they were going to do that. I'm surprised they didn't do Coming of Age.
Because
true.
I just want to hear Meek saying, I like your style. Like, I think that would be great.
I like your style. Oh, nigga, here's a style. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
What else?
Let's talk about Driver Brother Crazy, produced by Jake One.
Driver Brother Crazy. You sound like a comedian. You sound like a white guy making an impression of a black guy at like Live at the Improv or something like that.
I mean, that's about 80%, right?
Live at the Improv just lets you know how old we are for me to even reference that.
This is probably my favorite song on the album.
Really?
I love this beat.
The beat is nuts. That beat is dope.
The strings are so good. This is the Rick Ross I want. This feels like about as close, like sometimes Ross decides he wants to make records that are imitations of 1997 Bad Boy records.
Yeah.
This is one of those songs, and I'm totally okay with that. I will unabashedly say, this is the Rick Ross that I want.
Mm.
Like,
okay.
I don't know. Like, it's funny because, I hear the hook, and for a second I was like, was waiting for like 96 Lil' Kim to start rapping.
Yeah, like the chick on the record, if I could hear Foxy and Kim on it, now that you sort of bring that up, I could see one of them playing that role as the chick on the hook. Right. I could see that.
Right.
That's a good thing. So
love this beat.
Yeah, the beat is dope. Yeah, I ain't really trying to hear that content. Like, nah, but the beat is crazy. The beat is crazy.
Unfortunately, then we get to Turn You Back. Featuring Gucci Mane, Meek Mill. Whole Slab is somebody else, right? Who is Whole Slab?
Is that one of the guys from CCC, Triple C's?
I like how I type in Whole Slab, and of course, yeah, it's Deuce Poppy.
Deuce Poppy. Right. You just haphazardly said that. Like, no, son, that's Deuce Poppy.
Wow.
Famously, if you don't know who Deuce Poppy is, he was on Shut Up.
Is Whole Slab really a better name than Deuce Poppy?
Was he the one who had the song called My White Friends?
Hold on. Now we're going to go on a Deuce Poppy tangent. This is why this is the greatest show. Yeah, My White Friends.
Oh, man.
Oh, yep. Boy. Yes. Do I want to look at the Deuce Poppy discography? Yes.
My God. Oh, my God. Awesome pool party at the W. You come on the party on with us.
This beat is terrible. Oh, that is Afro Man levels of bad.
That was bad. So yeah, Whole Slab.
Yikes.
Coming back.
I need a makeover. He felt he needed to re-identify himself because people were way too familiar with Deuce Poppy.
Here's the problem. When you type in Whole Slab into Google, it thinks you want to type in Whole Slab of Ribs and it tries to autocomplete that. Yeah, you just can't.
So you have to type in Whole Slab Rapper to specify. And that just takes out all the gangsta and goonery out of your name. Whole Slab Rapper.
What's the...
It's terrible.
So is this song. The lead synth on this beat is the cheapest sounding thing I have heard in a long time.
I just don't like the trap records on this album.
They're so bad.
Yeah, they're just not good. And that's the bad part about Ross is that BMF was so big and he tried to recreate those records. BMF, MC Hammer, he tried to recreate those records. Even when they were good, they didn't get the credit that they deserved because he had spent so much time trying to recreate BMF.
Yeah, you're right. Like we have made fun of it on the show numerous times. Like, he really tried to make it over and over.
Absolutely.
And over again.
One of my favorite Rick Ross songs is I Wonder Why, which is like a really dark trap record that didn't end up on an album, but people dismissed it because it was the same tempo as is a trap record. But that record was incredible.
So this is produced by D. Rich. So between this and Bill Gates,
Liz, don't do that. Yeah, don't do it. Because I don't consider Bill Gates a trap record. That's 98 No Limit.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Turn Your Back is this is just a poor version of a generic Rick Ross song.
Yes. Yes.
Like if you bought the Casio and there was a BMF button.
Speaking of Casio. So your man Biz Sweets. Show him what you're dealing with. He decides that he's turning 37 this week, I think, or this month, makes me feel really old.
Right.
He's going to put out 37 beats for his 37th birthday. So many ad-libs, so many whistles. I cannot wait. I am glued to his Instagram.
Wait, weren't we always told that he was like 17 years old when he first came out with Rough Riders?
Yeah. He was always, yeah. He was 17.
Well, yep. That was not in 1995. So something's Showtime? Not quite. Thank you. Showtime. Yeah.
yeah. That text was hilarious. Oh man.
It's true. Like he's sitting there making those beats and you're like, okay, but I kind of needed the Swiss ad-libs on them. Like if he was doing ad-libs while he was Instagramming himself, making these beats in real time, that right. would have been great.
Listen, I want him to sample all of his ad-libs and make a beat out of them. So I want his kicks to be Haze, and I want snares to be Showtimes.
Oh.
Yep. And I want his percussion to be, it's getting hot in here. Something.
Anyway.
Our monster. Anyway.
Nothing good about Turn Your Back, right?
Nah.
Did you listen to this? Did you get the whole way through?
No, I didn't.
Anyway. Knights of the Templar, which is an amazing song title, but not an amazing song. It's fine. It's
crazy because when I first heard it, I liked it a lot. My first listen to this, I was like, yo, this record is crazy. And then I went back and listened to it again and I was like, nah. Just 180 on a record that quick.
Yeah. It's another D. Rich beat, but it's totally different from Turn You Back. It's funny. He has three beats on here. They all sound completely different. Bill Gates, Turn You Back, and Knights of the Templar. They sound nothing alike.
Yeah.
Beat is okay. Ross is cool, I guess, on this. It's fine. This is it's not a filler record, but it's a mixtape record, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
But we're now 11 tracks in and we still have six more to go. So,
And a whole other album to talk about. So.
Take Advantage, Feature and Future, produced by Beat Billionaire. This sounds like just a leftover Future record, right?
Yeah. I didn't even get the whole way through this record.
Yeah. So Future's verse is whatever on this, but it's not even like they got a great Future hook out of it. Mm. Like this to me, we are definitely at the point of mixtape. Like there's a lot of stuff here that they made and they just aren't going to use on an album. So they're just putting it out on a mixtape.
Right.
Except it's not that they had so much great stuff that they're putting out like gems. Instead, it's like, no, really, this isn't good. Like we paid for the studio time. We we paid for people to be there, but no, we're not using this.
Yeah. And then they're like putting a track listing together and like, hey, didn't you do a Future record like in May?
Right.
Oh, I do have that record.
Right, right. This feels like a curated 17 track playlist out of the Rick Ross leftover folder on his hard drive. Like Beautiful Live featuring Wale, produced by Nonstop the Hitman. At least it sounds different than what else is on the mixtape. But this is clearly like the Wale beat.
Oh, this totally was a leftover from the album About Nothing.
Mm.
Totally. Totally. Have you heard Wale's new record he put out today?
No.
He redid My Boo and is like singing over it. Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I don't think I heard you right.
Oh, no. You heard me clear.
Like we're talking like At Night, I Think of You.
Yes. One of the greatest songs ever in my young preteen life.
I believe Young Doc was that 96?
That was 90, that was 95.
No. No way. No, 96 or 97.
No, that was summer 96. It was. Because summer 95 was I Got Five on It and First of the Month. Summer 96 was Social Death Baseball.
Yeah, I was 13. It's a beautiful piece of cinema. With some real artistic value. No, it's cute girls and small jean shorts. There you go. Beautiful Lie is a leftover Wale record.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's all right. I feel like Wale's done better versions of that type of song.
Yep.
Yeah.
She Want a F featuring, I always get this guy's last name wrong, August Alsina.
Yep, that's it.
I
see his name and immediately skip the record.
Hmm. You probably should.
I don't want to hear. See, okay, they say, well, this is the funny part.
Okay.
So they say August Alsina is a poor man's Trey Songz. But Trey Songz is a poor man's R. Kelly, who in his earlier days was a poor man's Aaron Hall. So you're the poor man's version of a poor man's version of a poor man's version of a poor man. That's hilarious to me. And warrants me to absolutely not listen to your music.
Produced by Kennedy Rothschild, which is a hilarious producer's name. This beat's not bad. It works. I actually don't mind the beat. The hook is, well, it's a generic hook. What's funny is August never actually says the F word in it, even though it's in the song title. He's like making kind of weird noises. It's like she wanna, there's like this sort of a weird noise coming out. Ross flows exactly the same way in here that he does in the rest of the mixtape. Like, he is totally on cruise control. Yeah, this record is totally generic. Bel Air,
I really like this beat. Yeah, of course.
Okay. The beat's not bad.
It samples SWV Rain. Cool.
It's not. Yeah.
So listen, have we talked about this on the show?
I don't know.
How that's just like that's the nastiest song ever, and like nobody knew.
It's not the nastiest song ever.
Rain it's, down on me. Let your love fall like rain. You know what love means in 90s or 90s R&B terms.
Look, it's no Next, okay?
That song's not nasty. That song's creepy.
I can't. You know what? How has nobody remade that song?
You haven't seen that the Twitter video?
No, I have. I have. That's great. No, I mean like actually like remake it.
I mean, look, man. Listen, Marcus Graham comes out pretty soon.
I can slow that original beat down.
There's room. There's room. There's only like 11 songs on the tape, so.
Actually think I finally found the Cortex sample I want to use.
Oh, word?
I still need to actually do something with it.
Yes, but you do.
My wife and I, like, we listen to Cortex when we do dishes. I'm not even joking.
That is true love, yo.
Cortex, for those who don't know, is a French jazz band from the 70s. And if you just listen to their greatest hits on Spotify, you will immediately be like, oh, that's a Rick Ross song. Oh. That's another Rick Ross song. Oh, like he went on his, like, let's just say there's been a number of samples.
Several. Yeah, but yeah, Ross is, yeah, Ross loves them.
Yeah.
And with good reason, because they make really dope music.
Right. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, we somehow got to Wale and My Boo. Bel Air. Am I crazy? Is he trying to bring back like hashtag rap with this hook? Like he's just, this is non sequiturs. He's just like says a phrase, then a phrase that's kind of related. And then I can just see the semicolon hanging there in midair, and then he's just off on another thing. And I'm like, oh no, we killed it. I thought we deaded this in like 2010.
Hashtag rap has turned into caption rap now.
Caption rap? Is this?
Yeah.
Oh God. Not like what? Instagram or Vine caption?
More so Instagram.
Ugh.
Yeah. So you want to have a line. Somebody told me that I rap like this. You want to have a line that people can put in the caption on their picture.
Oh, or depending on the kind of rapper you are, you want a line that a club or party promoter could use for their next ladies' night.
Oh my God. Oh God. All right.
You know, that's true.
I'm thinking about the artists who are writing like, yo, son, we got to make this record to make grown and sexy nights. Like,
right. I just went to Drunken Love Night. Like, you know, we need.
No, the funny part is they're totally. Now I'm sure
I know
you use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers to hit us up at CRS Podcast. Let us know if you have been to a drunken sex.
wait, that's it. We're gonna make a song called Drunken Sexy.
Drunken Sexy.
It's gonna be you singing over a slowed down version of Next Too Close.
And it's gonna be at the end of Marcus Graham, similar to how Lyrical Exercise was in the Blueprint. It's going to be like 10 minutes of silence and then it's going to come on.
And same intro too. You'd be like, I lead the league in at least six statistical categories right now. Best song titles. Best.
I thought you were going to say, when you memorize a sentence, it's like an exercise.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
Yeah. Two shots. Oh, wait. So you like Bel Air? Because you like the beat.
I like the beat.
Two shots.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for 90s R&B samples, 80s and 90s R&B samples, as you all will. It will be evidently clear when you hear Marcus Graham.
Two shots with another Kevin Costner appearance. We're just getting all the generic hook singers on this project.
Nope, not
a fan of this one either. And Dead Rappers, produced by Bobby Critical, which...
Bobby Critical!
B-O-B-B-Y-K. Critical. Yeah, anyway. You know what? The beat's not bad. I don't really like the crowd noise they bring in at times, but like this is actually not a bad song. It's definitely a sample that I recognize that comes in at times. Beat is cool. Ross is fine on this. I would rather have this than Two Shots or Take Advantage or some of these other records. This is a case where like overall this entire mixtape could have been actually a pretty good EP.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I'm talking 8 songs. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll even give you like Bill Gates and stuff. I mean, like, you know, basically the first little run of songs and then maybe like one or two from the back end. And that's it. Keep it short and sweet. But I'm seeing a lot of praise for this online.
I think people, you know, it's funny because I went back and I revisited, I think I said this last week, Hood Billionaire and Master.
Yeah.
You put those two records together because the good songs in there are really, really, really good. But I think Ross is sort of trapped in this like rapper vortex where putting out two projects in a year is an accomplishment, even if they're not necessarily good. You know what I'm saying? It's more about the event. And I think we've surpassed that. I think it was it 2013 that was like the year of the event, or was that last year? It wasn't really about the music. It was about like stuff that surrounded the music. I feel like that was last year.
Might be both.
I feel like now is like it's getting back to the music and, you know, creativity and sort of unique ways to engage your audience, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's like this wave of rappers that came in 2010, 2011, Ross and even 2 Chainz sort of fits in that, where like they're sort of having a time readjusting to how things move now because it's different. Mm. 2 Chainz just dropped the mixtape a few weeks ago.
Nobody cares.
And I heard it was really, really good, but nobody's talking about it.
Right. It's tough. There's just so much music out. And like, if there's not a reason for someone to really go out and grab it, like, I don't know. It's funny, you know, the easier it is to listen to now everything that you can possibly imagine, the harder it is to get someone's individual attention for an individual project.
Yeah, right.
Like when you used to have to go hunt for music and actively like, oh, I got to go download this thing, you might just grab other stuff. But now I can just go to a search box and type whatever I'm thinking of. I'm searching, I'm not browsing as much. So it's a different feel altogether. Like you got to now come out and get my attention.
Exactly. Agreed.
Anything else you want to say about this, Ross?
Nah, I take a few records off air, but I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't, you know, make it past September.
Yeah. I've seen people say this is better than his last album. And I'm like, no.
Trap Love is better than every song on this mixtape.
Elvis Presley Boulevard is better than every single song on this mixtape.
Elvis Presley Boulevard is hard.
It's not even close.
Elvis Presley Boulevard is hard.
Yeah. People completely forgot about that song.
They did. Because again, it's a trap tempo.
Right, but that's Tomb.
They don't care.
I care.
It's Ross. It's Ross. And that is how much he has diluted that sort of style of record.
Right. He almost needs to like, I won't say go away, but like, I think people need a little time away from him.
Yeah.
Or something different. Maybe like in a weird way, like a small like boutique project with a producer, like something unique.
I would love to hear a project with him in Justice League. I think that was what the intention of this album was and should have been. Because I'm hearing more conceptual, lyrical, schmerical, rappity rap over, you know, 80 to 90 BPMs with a sample or pianos.
Or heck, him and Jake One. I mean...
Yeah. Him and Jake One are great together. Do that. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, right. This is just a weird mix of like, on the one hand, you've got like these Justice League and Jake One records that are sort of like fan service for the Ross fans who want to hear him make those kind of records. But then you've also got, frankly, just filler.
Yes, agree.
Cut the filler. It's a good lesson.
Agreed. And so I don't get why rappers don't understand that. Like, yo, just listen, if your album or your project's only like 6 records, 7 records, 8 records, but they're all incredible, like it's going to extend the life of your project.
Right. You'd rather have people saying, man, I wish I had more than, nope, nope, this is too much.
Before they get to the end of the project.
Right. You get to the end of the project and you're just like, is this really still going on? Like, that's a bad sign.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Let's talk about your man.
Your man.
Travis Scott.
Your man.
The divisive Travis Scott.
Now define
people device. Either like his music or think it's the worst stuff they've ever heard. No, yeah. Nobody is meh on Travis Scott.
I agree with that.
Okay. The album is called Rodeo. It has been in the works for a long time.
I don't know why I just got... Who had this song, Yippee-I-O, Yippee-Ki-Yay? Was that something for the people? I don't know why I'm thinking of something for the people. Anyway, go ahead. My bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Travis Scott. Here's a case where we talked about this earlier. Sort of separating the person from the musician. Travis Scott. There are a whole lot of things with the whole Travis Scott experience that people have issues with.
Let's break those down.
We don't have to go too in depth because I actually want to talk about the music because I think it's actually a really interesting song, a really interesting album, but. You know, people really question his very fast sort of come out of nowhere rise. Like all of a sudden, mysteriously, he's like got inroads with this group and this group and this group. He came out of nowhere. It's pretty clear Mike Dean is his sort of like, somebody said online, like Mike Dean is obviously his mysterious benefactor. Like Mike Dean is clearly like his, I don't want to say discovered him, but like clearly like Mike Dean is like his backer. Mike Dean is all over this album. He's an executive producer on this album. Mm-hmm. And Mike Dean has been Kanye's guy for a decade now.
Right.
So, and he's a Houston hip hop legend.
Absolutely. Yep.
So people who question that, in terms of his music, it's funny. I've seen reaction online where, people who I would consider these websites that aren't like really like music nerd websites in any sort of way. They're like, well, Travis Scott is clearly just copying Kanye style. Whereas other people would say, well, no, it's you listen to Travis Scott and it's pretty clear where Kanye's been getting his influence from.
Clear.
Right. But then there are records on here that make you go, now, wait a minute. I think there's influence going back and forth, but I actually want to go track by track quickly. And there are some records I'm going to talk about that. Right. But if you are somebody like Armand who has not been exactly happy with what Kanye's done over the past couple of years, you can look at Travis Scott. And there, you can just point the finger right there.
Oh, my God. I mean, some of these records, and I don't even remember them, but some of these records, I couldn't tell if it was Travis or if it was Kanye.
There's a lot of that. But so that's an interesting question. Is that Travis copying Kanye or Kanye copying Travis?
I think it's Kanye. I think it's Kanye copying Travis.
I know. But I know that. I know. He also has a habit of doing dumb stuff live.
His live shows are becoming infamous,
right, to a point where like if I were young, here's the deal though, like if I were not a 32 year old like married man, I would totally go to one of these shows. It sounds like an event. Now you might not even get a show because he might get arrested for inciting the crowd.
I'm actually shocked. I saw at one festival he like basically told everybody to hop the rails. And he pretty much overtook security and like jumped over the stage like that. He didn't get arrested for that?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got arrested. I mean, there is a phrase, young and dumb. I don't know Travis Scott, but when his live shows seem to personify that. Let's just say he is not always making the wisest decisions during his live shows.
And then, I mean, but you know, turn up, right?
Oh, he is turn up. And then, you know, recently, there was footage emerged from a show back in March where he was using some homophobic, we'll say, slurs on stage. And,
oh, that was from March?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that was older than that. Okay.
It's from March. He apologized profusely. Do people care? It's an interesting question. There's now just a trend in general of holding, you know, if you're a big name artist, people, if you have ever said anything live or if you've said anything on a record, it is apparently like all like, it is fair game now for people to judge you forever and ever by, right? We had this thing with Tyler over in the UK. Like first it was Australia. He had issues there. And now he's like banned from the UK.
That's crazy.
And when he showed up, like when he was trying to like get into the country, like for shows, they had like printouts of his lyrics.
Man.
So Eminem's not allowed there anymore, right?
Are you asking that rhetorically or are you really asking?
I mean, what's the difference?
I agree.
You got a whole long list of people. You know, Stanley Kubrick should not be allowed there either. Because if you've ever seen A Clockwork Orange, like, nope. Like, you got a long list of writers, musicians, directors. You can just kick them all out of the country.
We are given this, where we are right now with social media, where so much emphasis is being put on our words, mixed with a very, overtly tolerant culture. Like, there's going to be a whole, you might as well just ban everybody from everywhere, because it's going to get to the point where things are going to get uber sensitive and you can't say anything outside of like one plus one is two.
Well, I feel like with many things, there's first the initial swing that's too far, right? So look, let's all be 100% honest. Like, even to this day, Eminem raps about stuff. We talked about it on the episode where we reviewed the Compton album. Eminem raps about stuff that is embarrassing.
Right.
As a man of his age, come on. Like, it's embarrassing, but we've all tolerated it for so long. Right. So the problem is that whenever that tolerance ends for that sort of thing, it never goes to the middle where it should have been all along. It's going to swing hard. I think it'll just take a while for this stuff to settle down. I have no doubt that that in 5 to 10 years, we're going to look back on some of this stuff and we're going to be like, I cannot believe people were just like, look the other way at this. Because you talked about it earlier in the show where you said that like, you can separate like music from reality. The truth is that for some kids who look up to artists, it does have somewhat of an influence. It doesn't cause it. It doesn't cause it. But if you're 13 and you idolize Eminem and Eminem is not just using language, but if he is like using slurs against people, if he's being bigoted, if he's being intolerant, and media accepts that and celebrates that, what has that just taught you?
Right.
There is a little bit of that. And maybe it's because we're getting old, but I also feel like just in general, like I suspect this will be one of those things that we just look back and go, I really can't believe that actually happened.
Mm.
I don't know. But I think what we're getting right now is the initial like, whoa, 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 whoa. I think it's good intention, right? The law, as I understand it, written is good. It has good intentions behind it. We just don't know how to apply it yet. So there are going to be lots of cases.
Mm.
Right now, it seems that Tyler and is anybody else really targeted? I mean, Tyler is specifically targeted.
This happened to Iggy Azalea a few months ago, where she was booked to do a gay pride parade, and they dug up tweets, homophobic tweets that she had in 2009, 2010, and they dropped her, and that kind of started the train of her having to cancel her tour, and like she hasn't been able to get consistent shows for a little bit and had to fall back. So, you know, now it's like, we're going to comb through your Twitter and find stuff that you said 3, 4, 5 years ago. You may not even feel that way anymore, but now we're going to hold you accountable for it. Like, newsflash, people don't realize, and I'm not justifying, you know, people being, you know, ignorant or whatever of saying stuff or whatever. But yo, 2009, 2010 Twitter was like freaking, it was bad.
Sure.
It was bad. It was really, really bad. So there's when that whole thing leaked, when a bunch of rappers who weren't signed, you had Rocky Fresh. Where's he at? You had Rocky Fresh talking about Rick Ross, and you had all these people saying this stuff about people that they now work for, they've done records with, et cetera. It's like, yo, man, like I'm sure perceptions and things that I've said a year ago, I think differently about. I know for a fact that's true. So now we're going to hold people accountable for things that they said 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago? Really? Said? This isn't a what?
No, it's one of those things where it's one of those things where it's like, I think there are people who think, well, people just don't change. It's the same reason why whenever we have a presidential campaign, right, they're going to dig stuff up from like 30 years ago.
Right. Obama smoked weed in the 70s. Like,
do you remember how big of a deal it was in the 90s that Clinton had to come out and say, well, I didn't inhale?
Yeah, yeah. That became a running joke for a long time.
Right, and it's like, really?
Yeah, saxophone and all that.
Right, it's like, I'm the cool white guy.
White guy with rhythm, yep. He did that role.
But, no, yeah, so like, it's like really, so what a presidential candidate did as a college student, like, you know what? Yes, I drank before I was 21. Guess what? I probably can't be president. Like, I think it's one of those things where we are as we get to this world where, like, you and I are in this in-between stage where we are immersed in this media, but we did not grow up with all of our stuff being visible to social media. So, right. Like, this is a transition period, and it's crazy. Like, we will come out of this on the other side, and people will just act differently. They'll behave differently. They just won't put that stuff online. Like, it'll just be different. We were in this transition period where we used to think, like, oh, what I did online was what I did online. No, that's life. That's the real world now. Remember people used to say, oh, that's just the internet. That's not the real world. No, that is the real world, man. It's life. Like, that stuff really matters. That's just a transition.
Yeah. I mean, just remember when, you know, dating on social media was, like, frowned upon.
Right.
Like, you're trying to find women on the internet. You're pathetic. Now that's like the majority, you know, finding love in DMs and all the other stuff that people, you know, half-heartedly joke about, but really do. Like, it's, yeah, the transition, the trend. And that kind of just goes back to the point you said earlier, where first it catches a lot of backlash, and then eventually, you know, either something else happens that sort of like makes the impact of that not as crazy and people are more accepting of it, or just time passes and people become numb and tolerant of it and they accept it eventually. And then it becomes cool.
So we should actually talk about this Travis Scott album.
Right. Yeah, probably.
It is a, there is a ridiculous production like lineup on this album. Some of that is because he's been working with people for a while. Some of it I'm just like, man, the first song, I'm sure you loved the title when you saw it, track one, Pornography. I'm joking. I'm sure Armand looked at it and immediately was like, nope. Produced by
Until I pressed play.
Produced by Sunny Digital and Metro Boomin and Travis Scott. And then your boy T.I. comes in. This is almost like the role that Common played on Kid Cudi's album.
You're basically asking me if I've listened to a Kid Cudi album, and that answer is no.
Anyway.
Listen, as much Travis Scott heat as I've given or kind of talked about in the last few weeks, like, you open up your album with T.I. He's not rapping either. He's talking.
He's talking.
If you are a fan of the show, you know that one of the items on my bucket list is to write a book and have T.I. and Birdman and James Earl Jones do the audio version. So Travis Scott is on a good note with me now. Just like, this is an amazing idea. You have T.I. talking slowly at the beginning of your album. Fantastic idea.
It's an interesting intro. It kind of shows the whole Travis Scott experience, but it's not really what I would consider a showcase song. Like, it's a good, I like the song. I just don't think it's one of the best songs in the album, but it's like, it's a good beat, but not a great beat. Like, he's rapping okay, but there's nothing really amazing about it. How did you feel about this? Not really into it.
Yeah, they weren't for me.
Okay. I really want to talk about this next record though, which is, it's a two-part song, Oh My and This Side, featuring Quavo. From Migos. Produced by a whole lineup of people. Alan Ritter, Frank Dukes, Mike Dean, Travis Scott. I love this record. Both sides, Oh My and This Side, are incredibly catchy and just incredibly well produced. Like, this, there are portions of this album that are fantastically well produced. Some of the best beats of the year are on this album.
All right.
Did you listen to this whole song?
No.
Because the second half brings in what when Quavo actually raps, is, I can only describe it as Jodeci meets trap, in a good way.
Oh.
These deep piano stabs come in. You got like the harmonize in the back. Some of these beats are ridiculous.
I'm not gonna lie. There's one beat in particular on this album that I really, really like.
I can't wait to actually discover what that is.
A lot. Actually, let me make sure I find it so I know what the title of it is. Because we can talk about it and be like, yeah, it was cool. But go ahead.
I love, Oh My and This Side. Love this record. Love it. I've been walking around, was walking around all week just going, oh my, oh my, oh my. I don't know. I've always kind of like wanted to see if Migos could do anything actually good, because I feel like Quavo in particular can rap. There's something interesting there. But this is probably one of my favorite things that he's been involved in. 3500 was the first single produced by, and again, just it. This is very clearly the Kanye West approach to producing songs. Metro Boomin, Zaytoven, Million Dollar Mano, Travis Scott, Mike Dean, Alan Ritter. Yeah.
When are you getting paid?
No, Travis Scott will not make a dollar off this album.
Good lord.
This is basically
you're on stage all the time,
right? This song definitely grew on me. This was the first single. The beat is solid, not amazing, but I like it, and it kind of works its way into your head. Do you like 3500 at all?
Nah.
Okay.
Not really. All this stuff is starting to sound the same. Really, really heavy, money bass. Really, sort of like plotting melody. And then Travis Scott mumbling about stuff that I can't really understand.
3500 for the coat. That's hilarious.
So I'm at this point, I'm good.
Wasted with Juicy J is the first misstep of the whole album.
Metro
Boomin, Frank Dukes, Mike Dean. This song is just not for me at all. Don't tell me this is the song you like.
No. I was saying man because, you know, Juicy J was really interesting. So he sort of had this resurgence. Sound with Taylor Gang, et cetera, et cetera. Dropped a really good album, really solid album. And then, like, you know, did the Katy Perry record. But now he's just kind of, like, around.
Mm. Yeah, he is. He is. He's just sort of there.
Yep.
There's, like, a Pimp C line, like, appearance on here. It's nothing to really get excited about. Nah. I don't really like Wasted. But 90210 is incredible.
Yo, yes.
So this is DJ Dahi, Alan Ritter, Mike Dean, Wonder Girl, Travis Scott. It's like 8,000 people in here.
Freaking Wonder Girl. Like, can she get a placement that's like by herself?
This is the best recreation of 808s and Heartbreak I've heard in quite some time.
Now, are you talking about the original version or are you talking about the switch?
To me, the first part.
Okay, yeah, I could care less about the first
part. Oh, I love the first part. But the second part.
Oh, man, the second part is nasty.
The transition between the two is so great. Love it.
Yeah, this record is... Yeah, this record, yes.
But he completely sounds like Kanye here.
I know.
I was playing this for my wife, and she was just like, you sure that's not Kanye? And I was like, no, I can kind of hear the difference.
I literally, at the beginning, while we were getting ready for this show, a friend of mine texted me and asked me for new music. She said, you haven't sent me anything in a while. I was telling her it wasn't really anything that was out. She specifically asked, when does Kanye's album come out? I said, here, listen to Travis Scott's album. Because that's the closest you're going to get to Kanye right now.
90210 is straight up. Like, you know, is that the same? What is the same on the second half of 90210? What is that? That little chop from? Is that from
Family Business? Business?
Yeah. But yeah. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh no. So like 90210 is a record where I'm like, wait a minute. So is Kanye taking from Travis Scott? But then you get, this is like the reverse.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused, but I love 90210. Track 6, Pray for Love. Featuring your man Abel, The Weeknd, produced by The Weeknd's crew of people, so Ill Angelo, The Weeknd, Ben Billions, and then Mike Dean and Alan Ritter, and you know, half of Houston. I don't know. There's like so many people who produce these records. This song took a minute to grow on me, but I'm a fan. I like it. I really like the second. I'm gonna get super specific. The second half of Weeknd's hook, when it actually gets into that kick snare, when the kick and the snare finally really kick in, I like it. I like it. This is definitely like this is the Able stimulus package, but I like the song.
You know what's funny though? I don't know if I've heard a good Weeknd stimulus package record.
I like Pray for Love.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't like the Ross record. I didn't like the Wiz record. Who else is he giving stimulus packages to? Was the Ariana Grande record a stimulus package?
No, that was
her bringing him into her world.
He got the Ariana Grande stimulus.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I don't like Weeknd stimulus package records. I'm good.
pulling up on Dreams Worth More Than Money. That was a total
no.
Meek. No?
Man, crazy. Nobody's talking about that album.
Oh, no. Not at all. Nobody cares. Oh, Gifted? French? Was that a little bit? Maybe?
I remember that, but...
You don't.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember them doing a record together, but I don't remember anything about that record at all.
Track 7. What a fascinating lineup of people on Nightcrawler. Swae Lee and your boy Chief Keef, produced by Metro Boomin, Southside, TM88, Travis Scott, Mike Dean, Alan Jesus. Ritter.
Jesus. See, and that was the story I was telling you about that J. Cole's manager was talking about today. Yeah. I would listen to the Rap Radar podcast. They were talking about when they had to clear workout. So when they cleared workout, they had to clear every single person who was on that album, to include Kanye's girlfriend who did the part of Workout Plan where she, you know, like she did one of the skits on Workout Plan or whatever, and nobody could find her. So J. Cole had to like go out and look for her himself and eventually found her. Don't sample Kanye. This is gonna take you like months to clear that record.
Swae Lee is from Ray Sremmurd.
Yeah, Sremmurd.
The first time I heard Nightcrawler, like if you hear Nightcrawler on your headphones, it doesn't quite work as well. If you hear it in the car, you will immediately realize, whoa, this song knocks like crazy. It's so catchy. Not a fan.
I think a Nightcrawler, I think I instantly hear Bee Gees' Night Fever. I don't know why. Whose idea is it to get one of the guys from Ray Sherman?
Oh, he's great. He's good on this though.
And no, I don't mind him because I actually like them. They're cool with me. But like, why are we getting this? This is amazing. This is another conversation within itself. But we're not going to talk about it until maybe later. Why are we getting Chief Keef on records in 2015?
He's actually understandable on this song.
No.
I understood what he said. I understood what you didn't get that far.
No.
Come on.
The crazy part is that he has influenced so many rappers.
Yeah.
So many rappers owe themselves and owe their careers to Chief Keef. It is crazy.
So many producers owe their sound to Young Chop.
Young Chop. Absolutely.
Every time he hears a pitched snare, he must just die a little inside.
Yeah, yeah. Like him, Ja Lil Beats, Lex Luger, like, there's another producer I thought that, like, the industry just raped and pillaged their entire sound and just left them out to dry. Crazy, man. I feel bad for him. Like, you came with this completely original sound, a couple people got you, but then, you know, you're using software. And I don't know, this is producer stuff, so I could completely be wrong. But, you know, it's not incredibly hard to replicate because you're using this very easy to use software. People find out how to do your beats, the things to, and then they just make your beats.
Did you see the, probably not, but you should watch it, the New York Times feature about how that Justin Bieber, Diplo, and Skrillex song was made?
No, I didn't, but that is something nerdy that I would watch.
It's actually really fascinating. So in that song, there's what sounds like an unusual like flute kind of synth noise that sort of like catches your ear and sort of forms part of the hook of the song.
Like Timbaland Indian flute?
And apparently people have been wondering, what did they use? And what they did is they took a Justin Bieber vocal line and just like processed the heck out of it and made it sound like this sort of weird noise. But what's really cool is like you can tell... Like Skrillex is such a music nerd, apparently. Like, here's what I discovered, which is crazy. He uses Ableton Live like I do. He does not use a MIDI controller. He is clicking in drum tracks by hand, like with the mouse, like clicking in. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're getting nerdy right now.
So nerdy. But I was sitting there watching it and I was like, oh, he's using Ableton. I was like, oh, wow. Anyway, it's a really good watch. It's New York Times did something. It's pretty cool. Anyway, Nightcrawler. I don't really need Chief Keef on this, but I like Swae Lee on it. I like the beat. I like the hook. I like the song.
Okay, that's what's up.
What I don't like is Piss on Your Grave, featuring Kanye West, produced by, like, believe me, there's a long list. Kanye, Charlie Heat, Noah Goldstein, Mike Dean, Travis Scott, somebody named Wise Escobar. I don't know. There's so many people on this record. So it's, I think the intro samples Jimi Hendrix record. The intro is nasty. I love the intro, actually. And this is the craziest song title I've heard in a minute. But this actual song is awful. Terrible. Completely terrible.
Thank you for saying that.
No. And look, I kind of understand what Kanye is trying to do, which is he's attempting to make what I can only describe as a punk rap. And that doesn't mean I want to hear it. And from what I understand, what I've heard, I don't know if it's true, is that actually, if this were to, this is obviously a Swish cast off, right? What I had actually heard is that if there were a Swish version, it would have involved Paul McCartney in some way, which just seems impossible. Like, I get the idea of what Kanye is trying to do aesthetically. This is
bad.
It's just bad. So the fact that it's a Swish cast off, on one hand, I'm glad Kanye got rid of it. On the other hand, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried.
Oh, now you're worried?
This is a bad song.
Did not every other song that he dropped minus All Day not worry you?
No. No, it didn't. No. This is different.
I wonder how come Rihanna hasn't dropped her album yet.
Who?
Because basically, Rihanna basically deboed 4 or 5 seconds from Kanye.
Right.
And then I don't know how people, like, it felt like Better Have My Money was a song that everybody liked, but like it didn't like do anything.
But then the video hit and it kind of peaked. It kind of came up again a little bit.
Oh,
And then it sort of, yeah. So now they have to start all over.
Yeah.
She's actually had 2 well-known songs this year and she has to start over completely. Makes no sense.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But no.
But Rihanna's fine because she summons the powers of every noteworthy songwriter and producer in the world. She'll be all right.
But no, this is probably one of the worst Kanye West songs that he's ever been
involved with. If you are a Kanye West fan,
do not listen to this song.
What is it going to take for you to be concerned about this album?
Oh, no, this is the record. I mean, you should be. This is just a bad song.
You should have already been concerned. Take off your blinder glasses that you got at Glow in the Dark when this graduation album came out. And like, yo.
No.
Listen,
no.
Yo. Listen, Kanye's in trouble.
No. And it's not that Kanye, I wouldn't say Kanye's in trouble. I would say Swish. I'm very, very, very concerned that Swish will just be trash.
You like Yeezus.
Yeah.
So for those of us who think it's terrible, like,
you guys have already made up your mind about Swish.
So wait. We've heard music off of Swish and it's not good.
You've heard some music that might end up on Swish.
Well, music that was made during the creation of Swish.
Right.
And so, it's not good.
4 or 5 seconds was good.
Day.
All Day was okay. Overproduced. All
Day was dope for like a day.
It was overproduced. It's interesting. All Day needed Rick Rubin. All Day is overdone.
Oh, like, to strip it down?
Yeah. Like,
man,
the whole,
I'm very curious to hear that Yeezus album prior to Rick Rubin getting it.
I think there would have been real problems.
It just would have been like literally a bunch of like trash cans being thrown up against the wall or something.
It's almost like, did somebody forget to mute a track in Adobe? Like, is there too many layers going on here?
Somebody get beat up in the background? Like,
Antidote, produced by Wonder Girl.
Oh, hey. I just asked, can she get a feature by herself?
There's some of the people who helped out in this too, but you know, she's got the lead feature.
Okay.
This was originally not supposed to be on the album.
Okay.
But people really liked it, apparently.
I didn't know this was Travis Scott until I listened to this album. I heard this song when on Drake's, I think his first OVO Sound Radio.
Yeah.
I think 40 or Oliver, one of them played it. And I was like, man, this record is so stupid. But then like, I let it play, and about 2 or 3 minutes into it, I was... It's super catchy, and I don't mind it.
Boy, this is just going to hurt your soul, but this is so Kid Cudi.
No way. No, it's not.
Yeah,
I can hear him making that melody, but then he's going to go... No. No.
But no, Antidote is it's cool. I don't mind it at all. It's catchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impossible, produced by Alan Ritter, Mike Dean, Travis Scott. Totally skippable. Not really impressed with the song at all.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I need to move on to my favorite song of the past, I don't know, how many months. Maria, I'm Drunk. I'm not even joking. The song is fantastic. Featuring Bieber Valley, The Last Don, Young Thug, produced by, there's like 8,000. No, it's actually not that bad. Frank Dukes, Alan Ritter, Mike Dean, some of the people. I love this song. More importantly, Justin Bieber comes through and crushes the buildings on this song. Please tell me you like this song. Or at the very least, please tell me you like Bieber's part.
I didn't hear all of it.
No! Are you kidding me?
I know. You make me want to mute it and listen to
it now. Right now. Hold up. Call your friends, let's get drunk. Young Thug just coming in. Call your friends, let's get drunk. Yeah, see, that's what's great. This is where Young Thug works on a record, because how he sings sober is how I sing when I'm drunk.
Wait, what record is this again?
Maria, I'm Drunk.
Why is this not on Spotify?
Yeah, there's a weird thing there. I haven't figured that out. This is everything I hoped it would be.
Oh my god, that ad lib. I was not expecting that. I need to hear that again. Hold up. Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Alright, whatever.
Oh. Go back a little bit. There you
go. That's Bieber?
Yeah. And yes, he's breaking my rule of singing about the studio.
Okay, the funny part is that Bieber has completely denounced all of his black friends that he made during his last album, which was still a really, really dope album. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing this.
Yeah. Just wait.
All right, let me play it.
That what you just heard was Bieber attempting to steal Justin Timberlake's mojo, and it was fantastic.
Yo,
I know.
The funny part about Bieber, so one summer I got my daughter, and Boyfriend was like her favorite song.
Oh.
Anytime we got in the car, Dad, can you play Boyfriend? Dad, can you play Boyfriend? Most of the time it was met with an emphatic no. But when I would play it, she knew all the words. Like, that was it. The next summer, and even this summer, because then the next summer is when his last album came out. I'm like, hey, here's a Justin Bieber album that we can both listen to. So I'm hype. She gets here and I'm like, hey, you want to listen to Justin Bieber? And she's like, no, I hate Justin Bieber.
She's like, who?
He's terrible. And I'm like, why is he terrible? And it's like, because he broke up with Selena Gomez and he cheated on her. I'm like, how do you know what cheating means? You're eight. What are you doing? So that's crazy. So nope, no Justin Bieber for my child. Not with that verse, but that was very Justin Timberlake though.
Yeah, he just came through and he said, Justin, you're getting a little old.
You're getting a little old, you're 40, you just had a baby, married.
I'm going to come in, and now I want to hear, now I think we're ready, we might be ready for, because it's the Bieber comeback right now, which makes me feel so old, but like.
Right.
You know.
Is this like his third comeback, though?
I mean, it might be time for him to hook up with some big name producers, maybe make his.
You want him to do a Pharrell?
Make his Justified?
Listen, I'm not against that at all.
I know, it makes total sense.
On any planet.
When I first heard this, I was like, okay, Bieber's rapping. Then he just effortlessly slips into that. And I was like, wait a minute. Love the pianos on this. Frank Dukes is the unsung hero of hip hop right now. You'll notice his name has popped up everywhere. It's because he put out a collection of what you might consider like sample libraries. So they are essentially like lots of pianos and strings and everything else that producers are getting their hands on. You can pay to download them, or if you know how to get them, you can just download them. I think you have to like credit him, but like you can just use them. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but like I'm hearing a lot of this stuff and I'm like, wait a minute. Frank Dukes just sort of came out of nowhere. It's because like a lot of strings, a lot of pianos, like a lot of that stuff really works. So Frank Dukes is a secret weapon lately, but love this record. Love it. I know you're not a big Young Thug fan, but very catchy song.
I will say this though.
Mm-hmm.
As much coonery and buffoonery and all the other stuff that Young Thug sort of participates and represents, he can put words together pretty well.
That was such a backhanded compliment.
I mean, but, and I also, I always say this, I do like his verse on Ain't About the Money.
I can't stand that song.
I hate the hook.
Oh, it's the worst.
But that beat and the way Young Thug comes on that record is really, really dope. I don't mind it at all.
Little bit of shrimp dips. Track 12. Talk about sticking out like a sore thumb. Flying High. I don't know if it's officially featuring Pharrell, but you know, it's produced by Pharrell, Travis Scott, and Alan Ritter. Featuring, is it Toro
Imoy? Toro Imoy, I thought. Or maybe it is Moi. I don't know.
Say it looks like Moi to me, but
I thought it was Moi because the Y means E, which is Spanish for and.
Right.
Which, you know, makes me believe that it was Spanish. But then Moi is French, right? Mm-hmm. I say all that to say I did not do well in Spanish class, and I only took it because all the cute girls took Spanish.
This track sticks out like a sore thumb, but I love it.
This is the record that Mac Miller came out and said that he originally worked on with Pharrell for his album, I think.
It feels a lot like what Tyler did on his last album.
Mm.
And that bridge totally sounds like Chester French to me.
The crazy part. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Chester French. Those are your guys, right?
Yeah.
I saw this. There's a YouTube video, and I almost want you to, like, I want to just go. I want to go to, like, a Neptune's party. Mm-hmm. I feel like those should be a thing in the next 2 or 3 years. But there's a YouTube video that's like 17 minutes it's 9 minutes of 17 Neptune's bridges.
Oh, wow.
And they don't even scratch the surface. Like, they play pretty good ones.
Yeah.
But, like, it just makes me want to listen to nothing but Neptune's bridges.
Yeah, this is a...
Oh, Neptune's bridges are amazing.
This is a crazy song. It's weird, but it totally works to me. What do you think?
It's one of those records that I thought was cool, but I feel like if I hear it in the right environment, I'm going to like it a lot more.
Yeah.
So I don't hate it. And it's most of the time when it's a Pharrell record, like, I'm instantly going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
To at least give it a couple of listens and try to like it. So.
Track 13, I Can Tell. Totally skippable. Completely unnecessary.
Nope.
Yep. But Apple Pie is really dope.
Produced
by Travis Scott and Mike Dean with Terrace Martin and 1500 or Nothing helping out.
Yeah, yeah. The production, this beat is really, really dope.
Yeah, those pianos?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But at the same time, you know.
Not the content you want to hear.
Of course. I mean, this whole album is not content. I'm right. But
right. Dude's got an ear for, somebody has an ear for beats.
I mean, you, I almost want to say Mike Dean, but then Mike Dean had his hands on Yeezus too. So I partially blame him as well.
You got a lot of people. You got a lot of strong words for Mike Dean.
I mean, at least Black Skinhead was on Yeezus. And at least Bound was on Yeezus, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. That's the end.
New Slaves.
Yeah, it's all right.
And Blood on the Leaves.
Okay, Blood on the Leaves. Yep, Blood on the Leaves. Yep.
So, was this Travis Scott album as bad as you feared?
No. What it is I think sometimes, like, especially like staunch rappity rappers and like old heads and stuff, they feel like if they almost act like if they hear bad music that it like physically hurts them. And it's really dramatic and really corny. I can listen to an album and say, you know what, this isn't for me.
Right.
And go about my business. Like this album, I wasn't expecting much. I'm not a Travis Scott fan. You know, there's some dope songs on this album. I mean, was it 90210 that I really liked?
Yeah, 90210 was great.
90210 was a really, really dope record. Like, I'll play that on its own. And I don't mind Antidote either. Antidote's cool record. The beat for Apple Pie is cool. The Pharrell record is cool. Like, this isn't going to be on my end of the year, you know, worst albums of the year list or whatever. But, you know, it's not for me. It's not for me. So when people say that they like it, like, again, people don't recognize there's a difference between this is whack and this isn't for me. This album has some whack moments. I'm like, I don't like that. But overall, it's just not for me. And I totally get why people do like it. I'm good. Like, when I see Travis Scott concert clips on Twitter, I get tired. That's how I know it's not for me. It's not whack because as an artist, you totally want your audience to engage with you on that level. That's great. But that takes a lot of energy.
You're just tired looking at it.
I'm just tired. I just get tired looking at it. God forbid I see it first thing in the morning. Like, you know, you wake up in the morning,
you sort of kind of mumble in prayer and get yourself together and you grab your phone, see what's going on or whatever. You see a Travis Scott video and you're trying to get out of bed. I'm going to go back to sleep and take a little quick 10-minute power nap and be late for work.
See, I like that kind of, like, morning is my time. Like, I get up and I'm doing stuff. Like, this morning, woke up, went for a run, came back, breakfast, did a lot of good work in the morning. Like, I'm cool with that. I know, I'm a weird person.
Some people are morning people. And
whereas, like, right now, it's 10:57 at night and I'm dying.
And I'm just like, I might go grocery shopping tonight.
My wife texted me, like, you still recording? Like,
we're almost done.
I'm not editing tonight. Games
almost over and all that stuff. Yeah.
So overall, like, there are definitely songs in here that do not need to be here, right? That Kanye West song should have never made it on anywhere.
Been finished.
I Can Tell, Impossible, Wasted. These could all be skipped. But there's some, and there is this weird issue where, like, before I heard this, and based off of Days Before Rodeo, which was this mixtape from 2013, I was sort of like, when I heard Days Before Rodeo, I was like, oh, right. So that's why Kanye sounds this way. My only, this weird thing sort of at the back of my head, and I haven't figured out how I feel about it, is like, it's clear on this album that it's not, to me anyway, that it's not just that Kanye is taken from Travis Scott, but clearly Travis Scott is like impersonating Kanye on some of these songs almost. Like, he's doing Kanye. And I've been really harsh on people for, say, trying to sound like Drake.
Yeah. Right. So that's very interesting that people get crazy backlash for sounding like Drake. And here's a guy who clearly sounds like Kanye, or clearly there's some sort of, like, transfer of energy or something that's going on.
90210. There's at least a 20% chance that's actually Kanye West. Like,
right. Right.
Unreal.
And there's a few songs on the album, but he's getting a pass for it. Nobody is saying, I don't like Travis Scott because he sounds like Kanye. He's getting a pass. So
I don't know if it's a pass. I think it's because people know that he has been working with Kanye, so they assume that what Kanye has done is sound like him. Are we sure it's not the other way around?
Listen, that Travis is taken from Kanye, or that Kanye is taken from
Travis? Travis is taken from Kanye.
It's hard to say, just because around the time when, like, right after Dark Twisted Fantasy or whatever, or I guess, right after Watch the Throne is when Kanye's music really went, like, to where it is now.
I don't know. I mean,
it started with 808s, but it's sort of,
no, the cruel summer stuff sounded like, sounded like Watch the Throne Part 2.
Listen, if you listen to this show, name me three songs from that Cruel Summer album. You can't do it. In the words of Denzel Washington for Training Day, you can't do it. You can't name three songs from Cruel Summer other than Mercy and The Morning. Oh, and To the World, because that's the funniest song ever.
To the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I guess you could make a case of a Cruel Summer sort of being like that sharp turn
Cruel Summer was, like, we talked about Cruel Summer as a project. Like, the sound that Kanye and Jay really did on a couple tracks on Blueprint 3 set the stage for Dark Twisted Fantasy, which led into Watch the Throne, which then sort of, that sound ended on Cruel Summer.
So I guess we have to hear Travis Scott records circa 2012 to know who's stealing from who.
Hmm. Well, he's on Cruel Summer, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like Cudi?
I mean, his favorite rapper is Kid Cudi.
Travis Scott's favorite rapper is Kid Cudi?
That's right.
And that concludes this week's episode of Clock Radio Speaker.
This was a long one, but hopefully everybody enjoyed it. As always, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about this Travis Scott album. The Rick Ross project. This is, by the way, this Travis Scott album is unquestionably better than this Rick Ross mixtape. It's not even close. Not even close.
There's not a song on Travis Scott's album that's better than Foreclosures.
90210 is way better.
I would like to hear Rick Ross rapping on 90210.
Like to hear Rick Ross get a beat as good as 90210.
He has.
What's it called?
Shoot, Mafia Music 2.
All right. What I meant is right now. There's no... The production alone on radio is better.
I've just confound Doc.
I meant now. I didn't mean forever.
Oh man, I would like to hear Ross and Kanye work on another record that isn't Live Fast Die Young.
I would too, assuming that Ross wants to rap like he's, you know, not on Ambien. Like he's flowing on his mixtape, but he sounds bored.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
So, like I said, use the hashtag Clockwater Speakers. Let us know what you think. Am I crazy about the Rick Ross project? Is Armand crazy? We both crazy. Let us know what you think about both sides.
Out of control. Is this whole party out of control? It's a Martin reference. I hope you guys got that. Anyway.
I was going to say who, but then I realized that would hurt.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. I'll take Fresh Prince over Martin, but
yeah, of course. But and next week, we're talking about Little Brother. So,
Little Brother, I will be much more enthused on next week.
Get your Triple Five Soul.
Yep. This is mid-2000s, so get your LRG out.
Yes, LRG.
Get your LRG
I had an LRG t-shirt. Of course it
is. The funny part is I remember I was living in Japan at the time, and like I got some LRG jeans, and they were fitted. They were like a slimmer fit.
Mm.
And I got so mad that I didn't try them on that I gave them to my friend who wore more fitted clothes. I was like, man, these clothes are too tight. And now, like, I get made fun of for wearing skinny jeans.
Nobody,
but I'm skinny.
Wait, who makes fun of you? Everybody wears skinny jeans.
Exactly.
Who makes fun of people? Well, anyway.
People who can't wear skinny jeans make fun of
that's all. Everybody can wear skinny jeans. Anyway, the key is fitted, not so tight that you look like a sausage.
If you have to sit down and lift your legs in the air to take your pants off, they're too skinny.
Right. Skinny, not skin tight. There is a difference.
Yes.
We should keep the fashion recommendations to a minimum, though.
We should actually have a fashion episode. We've been asked to have a relationship episode from Marcus Graham, so maybe we should become more like lifestyle.
I was gonna say that we could be a lifestyle podcast.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, except here's what my closet consists of. I got a lot of J. Crew, I got a lot of Everlane, and I got a lot of
Gap,
and I got a lot of Yukon hoodies. That's my.
I have a lot of Gap. I have a lot of Cairo stuff that I didn't sell, but just made for myself.
Yeah, like right now, I'm wearing Yukon shorts and a Clock Radio Speakers t-shirt.
It just reminds me, I got to get you and your wife those sweaters. It's about cold outside.
Yeah, I forgot about those. I do have the t-shirts that you sent.
But you guys want a sweater, so I got y'all.
All right.
It just reminded me, I got y'all.
All right. Anyway.
Hashtag Clock Radio Speakers, good stuff. Thanks for listening. See y'all next. Listen to the show over the weekend. Well, I guess if I'm saying this by this point, then like the show's already over. So I can't tell y'all when to listen to it. But yeah, have a good weekend. We'll see y'all next week.